This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
I'm happy to be here and see some of familiar faces. So I'm going to talk to you about another approach to prostate cancer, focal therapy, and it's considered a less morbid alternative to surgery or radiation. So I'm going to be talking about who should have it and who should not have it and how we do it. These are my disclosure. So we're gonna go over the principle of focal therapy, the role in the management of prostate cancer, current guideline outcome, and future direction. So we're gonna, you've probably seen this paper recently published in the New England on the 15 years follow-up for men. A majority of these patients are low intermediate risk patient, and when you look at their survival, whether they get treatment or not, is the same. However, the patient who decided to have radical treatment, such as surgery or radiation, they actually reduce their incidence of metastasis, local progression, long-term androgen deprivation therapy by half compared to men who decide not to have it treated. Now, that reduction obviously didn't translate into the difference in mortality at 15 years, but so this study highlights the long history of prostate cancer, so we have to worry about the side effects. Now, the purpose of focal therapy is, can we flatten this curve? Can we reduce this incidence of metastases while preserving your quality of life? And so why do we do focal therapy? Now, the intent of focal therapy is not to cure the cancer, so if you're looking for a cure, this should not be your choice, but it's to reduce the risk of metastasis and local progression and preserve your sexual and urinary bowel function. So this could be, you know, a scenario where men who is in between low and intermediate risk and who are at risk for progression, they may be a candidate for this. And this is a quote that I remember a very long time ago when I was a fellow with Dr. Carroll. He said, treatment should match the extent of the disease and the patient as well. So over the last 10 years, we've seen numerous improvement in a way to localize the cancer using advanced imaging, genomic testing, and the ability to stratify risk better. So focal therapy may be a promising approach to control the cancer and at the same time preserve quality of life for men who is at risk for progression. So the central idea of focal therapy revolves around this idea where you have prostate cancer. Most prostate cancer are multifocal, so they have more many foci, but the dominant tumor is the one that's responsible for spread. So you can see here, this could be a dominant tumor and that spread. This is a mapping of origin of this cancer using copy number variation, looking at the DNA of the source of the cancer. You can see in this patient, the tumor in the black here that is responsible for the spreading, not the other one around it. So what if we can precisely identify this dark cancer that is responsible for metastasis and knock them down while preserving the rest of the organ? So that's why focal therapy. So who's the ideal candidate for this? Should be localized cancer, intermediate risk, Gleason 3 or 4. So that should be the ideal candidate. Now, in selected cases, Gleason 3, who's at risk for progression, or unfavorable intermediate risk, 4-3. Now, the location of the cancer is also important. If it's too close to the urethra or the rectum, you should not pick this. Also, the patient has to understand this is not a cure. So you have to commit to a lifelong surveillance. I would consider this as active surveillance plus. It's not a cure. So you got to continue to monitor your cancer even after treatment, after focal therapy. And it's not recommended for a patient who has high-risk cancer. So the patient selection, so most of our patients here who's considering focal therapy, they should have an MRI fusion biopsy, PSMA PET, although PSMA PET is not approved for low or unfavorable intermediate disease. I think Dr. Carroll is going to have a trial on PSMA for this group alone, so that's going to be opened up soon. So PSMA PET, if feasible, the location of the tumor, is also dictate on how we treat this different using different modality. And also a rectal exam is important. If you have rectal stenosis, may not be ideal for high intensive focus ultrasound through the rectum. And then calcification, if the calcification is blocking the sound, you may not be a candidate for HIFU. You may be a candidate for IIE or focal therapy. So the how do we do this? And what source of energy do we use? So we could use heat by ultrasound, or freezing it, or shocking it. So irreversible electroporation. And it all depends on the tumor location. So if you have a tumor in the posterior part of your prostate, ablating it through the rectum is makes sense. But if you have an anterior tumor above it, then going through the perineum with cryotherapy or laser or irreversible electroporation makes more sense. Or even TULSA, if you have cancer that is around the urethra, that might be an option. Now, this is an example of how high intensive focus ultrasound work. You similar to getting a biopsy, but except you've done this, you do this under general anesthetic. You have to remain still for the procedure. And we use this as an example of MI guided ablation of the tumor here on the left mid gland. And basically we map out the location where we want to ablate, and the ultrasound just go there and give up these high intense ultrasound and heat it up to about 90 degrees Celsius. Actually, the process of destroying it is coagulative necrosis. So it's kind of liquefy the tissue, and it become a scar later on. Now, the other option is that we offer here is called irreversible electroporation. So basically, we put these electrode around a tumor and shock it to 2,000 volt per centimeter square. So this is an example of a patient we did recently where we put electrode around the tumor, and this is giving the shock to that location. So what's the current guideline on focal therapy? So the NCCN guideline, so focal therapy is an option for radio recurrent cancer, but it's not recommended as a primary therapy yet. So the AUA said that a clinician should inform a patient about this, but have to inform them that focal therapy lacks the high quality data comparing outcome in the long term, and may be considered in selected patients. The EAU guideline only offer focal therapy in the clinical setting, in the clinical trial setting. And the German guideline now included for low-risk cancer only. So focal therapy, the main limitation is recurrent. Majority of prostate cancer is multifocal. So if we destroy the main tumor, you can get new cancer in the other area that's going to be that's not treated in the future. So you have to carefully follow up. Now, one of the limitations in terms of heating the cancer is if the tumor is very well vascularized, and when you heat it, the body's response is to increase perfusion, and then you get the heat sink, you get a recurrent in there that you treat. The margin is important. And also staging is important. You can miss cancer outside the prostate. You got to get appropriate staging. And also the field effect, other part of your prostate can develop cancer in the future. That's why it require long life surveillance. Now, this is a medium-term outcome for focal cryotherapy led by Dr. Shinohara. This is looking at a patient who had intermediate and high-risk prostate cancer who elected for focal cryotherapy. And our failure-free survival at 2 years, 96%. Three patients had metastasis. One patient had the salvage prostatectomy, 5 underwent radiation. There's a small decline in the sexual function. The urinary function remained unchanged. If you look at the, in the United States, we have recently a phase two trial on using ultrasound, MI-guided ultrasound ablation. So you can see here the 2 years follow-up, 88% has no grade group two recurrent in the area of treatment, but 40% has cancer in the area or outside the area of treatment. So 40% still has cancer in the prostate. This is a paper back in 2018 of 600 625 patients were treated for HIFU, 5 years failure-free survival is at 88%, metastasis-free survival is 98%, two patients had the metastases, and the one died from prostate cancer at 5 years. So these are still short-term follow-up when you look at the spectrum of prostate cancer survival. 2% has near incontinent required use of one pad. Bowel complications rare, 0.3%. This is another paper from Europe. Look at 15 years of experience on patient who had elected for focal therapy using high intensity focused ultrasound. Almost over 1,000 men underwent. Now, the 5-7 years of failure-free survival for intermediate risk disease is 68%, and for high risk disease, 65%. So almost 34% has a recurrent for intermediate disease at 7 years. It's not recommended for high risk disease. Overall survival is 7 years. Now, if you look at the endpoint, most study report cancer-specific survival and metastasis-free survival. The other endpoint that we measure is radical treatment-free survival, meaning what is the percent of the men that can avoid surgery radiation. So we don't measure whether they have cancer left or not. It's just, can we delay the inevitable, basically? And also, we should look at function. The main advantage of focal therapy is preserving your sexual, urinary, and bowel function. PSA after focal therapy is a not reliable endpoint. So everyone who elected to have focal therapy to check their PSA, rising PSA may suggest a recurrence, but you have to have that biopsy. So in the post focal therapy setting, we use imaging. We use MRI to localize the area of the recurrent. Now, the PIRAT system may not be the suitable systems for this one to look at post HIFU changes or post focal ablation changes. So we may have to design a new system to look at that. So the other one is integrating PSMA PET may be another way to follow these cancers. So for our patient here that we offer IIE focal therapy or cryo or HIFU, everyone have to undergo a biopsy at 1 year. And we sample more in the area that we treat, and then we sample throughout the process, and then continue to go on surveillance. So what do we do after? So here is the post treatment. So if you have low risk disease, you undergo biopsies after focal therapy. If you have low risk disease, you can continue to active surveillance. If it's high volume, or if you have an intermediate risk recurrent, you can have another round of ablation, or you can decide to have radical treatment surgery rated. If you have a high risk disease after focal therapy, you should have salvage prostatectomy or radiation. So I'm gonna go over the few cases, but I think I'm running out of time, so I'm gonna skip this. So I'm gonna go to our conclusion here. Focal therapy is intent to mitigate the risk and postpone the need for whole gland treatment. That's the intent, not to cure the cancer. Focal therapy is associated with preserving urinary, sexual, and bowel function. And is maybe a promising option for patient on active surveillance who is at risk for progression. Recurrent, infield recurrent is high, ranges from 10 to 35%. It's too high. We need more research to decrease that. And also the success of this depends on the careful patient selection, continuous monitoring, and using PET scan, advanced imaging, genomic to select patient. I'd like to thank my mentor, Dr. Carol, Dr. Shinohara, has been instrumental in a focal therapy program here, Dr. Kasuto, for allowing us to get the machine here, and then the rest of our faculty.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.